Vicky for that special. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be in church. Don't you enjoy coming to church? I mean, it's a blessing, and I don't ever want to take that for granted. It's always good being around God's people, and it's good to sing, and it's just good to get into His Word, and it's just a blessing, something that we should never take for granted. All right, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we're going to be in chapter 37. In chapter 37 here. And I love the Word of God for so many reasons, but one of them is I just love the different characters, the different characters that we read about in God's Word. Some of them, let me ask you this question. Are there some characters that you can relate to in the Bible? Yeah, you say, oh, that looks a lot like me. Maybe sometimes it's not always a positive thing. Sometimes it might be a negative thing. I think about, again, so many different characters. I think of Jacob. You know, we read about Jacob in the book of Genesis. And Jacob was quite the character. He was certainly used by God. God used him in a great way. But Jacob had some things about him that were not positive things. Maybe some things that we could relate to. You know, he liked to have the control of things. Maybe you could call him a little bit of a control freak. Any control freaks here today? Don't raise your hand. You don't want to raise your hand for that one. But you know what? He was a bit of a manipulator. He wanted to manipulate his circumstances. His mom encouraged him at times. He could be a bit of a shyster. You know what a shyster is? Yeah, man. He could rob you blind. And he was a bit of a flawed character. But here's the thing, is God uses flawed characters. I mean, he uses us, right? And we are all flawed. And so he used Jacob. He was behind the scenes. God was doing some great things. And ultimately, he would do some great things in Jacob's life. Now, I think about Jacob, and I just can't help but get caught up in the immense drama that takes place in Jacob's life and Jacob's family. Anybody here have any drama in your family? Don't raise your hand again, okay? Those are... Nobody saw that hand go up, okay? Because it could cost you, all right? Hey, listen, we all have some drama. We create drama, don't we? Yeah, sure. And through it all, through all of that drama, I'm always fascinated with the person of Joseph. Joseph is a great character. He was like a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes to a lot of people. But, you know, there was just something about Joseph. Of course, he's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you see that so, so clearly. But to me, again, I'm always impressed at the kind of individual that he was. He was not perfect. There's no Bible character that was perfect. The only one perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I admired about Joseph was that he was yielded. He was wholly yielded to God. So this morning, I want to look at the subject of faithfulness and forgiveness, because we see those things in Joseph's life. That is a great combination, by the way, to have. If someone can look at us, if God looks at us and he sees us as being faithful, but he also sees us as being somebody who's forgiving. Boy, those two qualities are great qualities to have. Amen? Amen. And so the first thing that I'm going to bring out, we'll have a word of prayer, but the thing that I want to bring out first of all is that in life, conflicts arise. Right? Isn't it? It's just a part of life. You just go long enough, you know, and sometimes it happens within a day. I mean, there's some kind of conflict that arises, and sometimes more than one conflicts that we have to deal with. And so with that first point, conflicts arise, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll dive into that point. And we're going to take a look at Joseph today. And we pray that God will help us to be yielded ourselves, to yield to him, if we're saved here today. Now, if you're without Christ, then my recommendation for you is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Savior. He'll give to you everlasting life. That's a wonderful thing to have. But for those of us, and that would be most of us, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, then the necessary thing for us is to yield ourselves unto him and let Christ, let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and I, do his work to conform us to the image of Christ, that we might be more like him. So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we're grateful for the opportunity to be in church. It's a great blessing. It's something that we never want to take for granted, Lord. So we thank you that we have the freedoms, because not everybody in this world has the freedom to meet like we're meeting right now. Many have to meet in secret. They have to hide in hiding places, or meet in hiding places. And we thank you for the liberties that we have, and we pray that would continue to go forth. Now, we thank you for this opportunity to meet today. We ask, Lord, that you would work in our behalf. Lord, we pray that we would have ears to hear. Would you help us to listen? And Lord, for those of us that do know you, we pray that you'd work in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to look at this character, Joseph. We see that he's such a picture of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know he's not perfect, but there are so many things that we could emulate out of his life. Help us to yield to you. Help us to allow you to work in our hearts and in our lives that Christ might be seen in us. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are here. If they're, however there many may be, we pray for them to come to trust Christ as Savior if they're without the Savior today. We pray that you'd work in their hearts and bring them to you. So we pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in everything. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work through me, and I pray you would put me out off to the side and out of your way. So we want more than anything else for Christ to be glorified. We thank you. We pray all this now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, listen, conflicts arise. Okay, we're talking about conflicts. Conflicts arise, folks, because we live on a cursed earth. This earth was cursed way back in the garden. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. He says, it is impossible but that offenses will come. All right, offenses are just going to happen in this life. There is no doubt that conflicts arise as a result of many things. They certainly arise from poor decision making. Right? We know that. Even when they're at the lowest level, that they can rub people the wrong way. I mean, think about it. You know, buying the wrong shoes causes conflict. You ever bought a pair of wrong shoes? You thought, man, I liked them in the store, and then you took them home, and you're like, what happened? From the store to here, these shoes are terrible. Why? What possessed me to think that I could buy these shoes and wear them, and they don't even feel good? You know, it creates conflict. Sometimes just a purchase that we make. Sometimes just being hasty can create conflict. I think about the man who, he went into the drugstore and he was trying to find something for hiccups. And he couldn't find it, so he goes to the guy behind the counter. And he says, do you have anything for hiccups? And without a beat, the guy just slaps him on the face. And the guy's like, whoa. And the guy behind the counter says, did that help? And he said, I don't know, I'm going to have to go out to the car and ask my wife. Sometimes being a little too hasty can create some conflicts. Some of you are just getting that now. It's taken a while. The eagle has landed, right? It's finally got there. So we see that conflicts happen in this life. They're just all about us, and we have to deal with them. But how do we deal with them? Take a look here in Genesis chapter 37. In verses 1 through 3, it says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, I've mentioned this before, it probably wasn't the best decision for Jacob to have made a coat of many colors for Joseph only, you think? Right? I mean, think about it. We got to be careful as parents about decisions that you make with your children. I think you can fill in the blanks right now, but Jacob made a bad decision here because he made something, it was just obvious. He's got a coat of many colors for Joseph. And verse 4, we read verse 4, it says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." So at the same time, I would say we have a bit of an overreaction here from his brothers. Wouldn't you say? I mean, it says, I mean, they hated him. My goodness, over something stupid, over something just really, really trivial. That's what it really should have been in the category of just trivial. How many times we get upset about trivial things? I think about dumb decisions, dumb things that we do. I remember walking with my older brother. He's 7 years older than me. My brother was here in the summer. And we're walking along, and we walked across the street. That was way back in the day. It was like today's strip mall. There was a bunch of stores across the street. I always remember seeing them all the time. So we walked across the street, and my brother was eating a Dolly Madison lemon pie. How many remember Dolly Madison lemon pies? And I said, "Can I have a bite?" And we're walking across there, and I took a bite of that lemon pie, and it didn't sit well with me. I hadn't eaten a lemon pie before, apparently. And I thought, this is horrible. And so I threw it into the bushes right in front of the Chinese restaurant that we were walking by. And my brother said, "What did you do that for?" Well, in my 8 or 9 year old way, I didn't really say it this way, but my answer was basically, "Brother, that's just not fit for human consumption." So I made a decision to just throw it away. My brother still reminds me of that today, okay? All these years later, throwing that into the shrubs, making a dumb decision, overreacting. Well, verse 5 through 11 says this, that Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed." Now, he's just kind of rubbing it in here. At least this is, of course, how they're going to take it. He says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright." You know, a sheaf is, you have the wheat that's being gathered together and it's all in a bundle and then they tie it all up. That's a sheaf. And of course, they're going to eventually thresh it, get the grain out. But you got all these sheaves that they've tied up. And so he says this, "I've had this dream and we're binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose." My sheaf just goes up and stands on its own. And he says, it arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. So in my dream, your sheaves all come down and bow down to my sheaf. Oh, yeah, this is really going to make the relationship between them even tighter, right? And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. So he does it again and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. I have another dream. Let me tell you guys about it." He says, "And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." So the sun, the moon, and all the stars, they all just bowed down to me. Oh, wow. Yeah, they're really embracing him even more, right? They made obeisance to me, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. "Son, what are you doing?" And he rebukes him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, you know, this is all going to take place. This is all prophetic, and this is going to happen. But Joseph dreams these dreams. In fact, he dreams two of them, right? Which definitely came from God, because God gave him these dreams about something that was going to happen in the future. Yet, Joseph wasn't too modest about how he presented those dreams to his brothers and his parents. Somewhat foolish when I just look at that. Then again, he was just 17, all right? So you remember when we were teens? Some of the airheaded things we would do as teenagers? Come on, give me an amen, all right? I know that that's true. I already know you guys well enough. Listen, it doesn't say, but I think maybe Joseph is intentionally getting in his digs right back to his brothers. Because he knows they hate him. He's got that coat of many colors. He knows the relationship is not good. They're looking down on him, despising him. And maybe, again, maybe not, but maybe he's just kind of intentionally just getting in a dig. Yeah, you know, my sheaf arose and all of yours bowed down to me. And the sun, moon, and all those 11 stars, they did obeisance to me. So he's just getting in his digs, and they're not liking it, obviously. Again, for his brothers to become that hateful, though, is really over-the-top ridiculous for them to do that. I mean, they're older brothers. He's the youngest one. You look at verses 18 through 20, and we see what happens here. It says, and when they saw him afar off. So what happens there from verses 12 through 19 is they go off with their flocks, and they're going to take care of their flocks, to feed their flocks, to get their flocks drink. So they take the flocks out, and they go off to Shechem, and then eventually they go from that, from the town of Shechem, over to Dothan. And Joseph is, asked by his father to go and check on his brothers and check the flocks, make sure everything's good. So Joseph goes out to Shechem. He can't find him. He talks to somebody. Oh, they're over in Dothan. So then Joseph heads to Dothan and to find his brothers, to find all of those flocks. And that's when verse 18 says, and when they saw him afar off, so they see Joseph coming. And it says, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Well, this thing has gotten, this thing has really escalated quite a bit. They've hated him. And you know what hate turns into? The Bible likens hate to murder. And so they have conspired now to murder him, to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer, he's coming. This dreamer cometh. And verse 20 says, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast will say to Dad, we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And then we shall see what will become of his dreams. Can you imagine that? All of these brothers conspiring together, and they're all in on it. Folks, that's wicked. That was wicked that they wanted to just murder their younger brother because they just couldn't handle all of this that was coming at them. And let me just say this. Sometimes people get mad at the stupidest things. Yeah, have you found that to be true? Sure, people get mad at some of the dumbest things. People get mad in churches when you do the littlest of things. Well, why did they do that? Well, why did they put those picture frames back there for the missionaries in that configuration? I haven't heard anybody do that here, but I've heard it in churches. I've heard it in churches when, well, why did they pick that color carpet? Well, why did they do this? Well, why did they do that? It's just foolish because people can get upset and just downright away from the Lord with some of these petty little things that happen. People get mad when pastors want to do something. Now, I'm just going to say this. I'm not saying it because that's happening here. It's not. Praise the Lord. We have a church, honestly, we have a church that is unified and is of one accord. I really praise the Lord for that. So I'm just saying this about, this is for live stream land, okay? Not for anybody here. No, but I haven't seen that. But listen, we all have potential, don't we? Because we can all walk in the after the old nature. And people get mad if you're, you know, they did, and sometimes they even do. They're mad if you're wearing a mask. They're mad if you're not wearing a mask. So people can get kind of weird about a lot of things. And many people in this country are getting way too angry about changes that they want to be made. Things that they want to happen. And you're just seeing people getting angry. Now, I realize social media and all of that really highlights things way more than they ever did before. And we see things that we really couldn't see way in the past. And it's just been happening more and more. And now, boy, everybody's got a camera with them now, right? And anything that happens, it's usually videoed and you end up seeing what's going on. So, yeah, this thing is all coming out before us, but I tell you, the response of people is just crazy, right? Is that what you're seeing? Certainly, and people are just getting angry about things. So, folks, let me just say this. Let's be careful, especially for us as believers. Let's be careful about, on the front end, not to unnecessarily offend, all right? Now, Joseph, I think, probably didn't have to throw out all that information, unless the Lord told him to do it, but I don't see that in the passage. And it looks as if Joseph just kind of threw that out there, and there was maybe a bit of unnecessarily offending there. But then let's be careful not to be someone who overreacts on the backside all the time, you know, on at the end of things, even over little things. What that means is when we do that, there's not much of a walk with God when we're doing that. We don't have much of a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. Almost without fail, people that have had issues, and I'll just bring this up, people that have had issues with me through the years, you know what I came to find out? Not that I don't have issues, all right? I know I have issues. Don't amen that. I do. I know I have issues. Man, I have so, you know, I've always said this before, the biggest room in my life is the room for improvement, all right? And I know that. I really do. But I found this almost to be, almost without fail, that people that brought issues to me about this in the church or about with me personally, I found out that down the road, I found out that they really had a lot of issues at home. They had a lot of issues in their own personal lives. And you know what happens? It's kind of it's just a human thing to do. We kind of like to transfer things over onto other people when we ourselves are miserable. Have you found that to be so? I've certainly found that. Just being a pastor, or being in the ministry, or just even in life, sometimes people just want to project things out because they don't want the focus to be on what they're going through or what they're all about. Okay? And again, I'm not saying I don't have faults, because I certainly do. And sometimes I've been even guilty of that. But that's sometimes, you know, how people handle some of the conflicts in their life. So now, the second thing, we talked about conflicts, because conflicts do arise. The second thing that I want to bring up is about how Joseph handled all of this. Joseph handled this in a very unique way, he just ended up serving God. He just decided, yeah, there's a lot of conflicts going on here, and I certainly have a lot of conflicts with my brothers, but I'm just going to knuckle down and just serve God. I'm just going to do the right thing. And that was the response that Joseph had. So the second point the way that I title it or phrase it is, but for now, serve God wholeheartedly. Yeah. Okay? Because listen, we're going to have conflicts. And those conflicts can get us sidetracked. Those conflicts can get us off on a bad road of maybe becoming bitter, of thinking that we need to handle things on our own and that we're going to fix this thing on our own. You know, the best thing is, as this point lays it out, but for now, just serve God wholeheartedly. Amen. Just, okay, there's conflicts, yeah, but I'm just going to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, again, had good reason to become bitter. He had good reason to become very bitter. I mean, his brothers are wanting to take his life. So his brothers throw him into a pit, and they want to slay him. Well, Reuben kept him from doing that. Yay, Reuben! There's not too many things good you can say about Reuben, but that was one of them. And so he was thrown into a pit by his brothers. He's sold as a slave. They sold him as a slave. He's shipped off to Egypt. He is bought by a man by the name of Potiphar. He's worked for him as a servant. He is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife made a move on him, and then she said, oh no, he came after me. And so Potiphar had to respond to that. But his wife makes a false accusation against Joseph. And then he gets thrown into prison with all of that. Yet in all of that, I can't even see it, he doesn't get bitter. How many of you think that you might become bitter when you've had that many things thrown at you? I think I might get bitter. Yeah, I mean, I know my old nature. I would certainly have to be in that book and on my knees and saying, Lord, help me. Because I'm just going to get bitter at the way things are coming down on me. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe some things have happened and you just say, this is just not right. It's not just. Why am I going through this? Even David, who is a man after God's own heart, says in the Psalms many times, hast thou forgotten me? Hast thou forgotten me forever? Even David said that. So sometimes we can accuse God because we're going through something and we just don't understand it. And we can find ourselves becoming bitter. Yeah, we've all probably have experienced that emotion. And we've held something against somebody else because that person, they did us dirt. My, that was my own friend. That was my own sibling. That was my, you know, that's somebody that I knew very well. But he never got bitter. Instead, he was very industrious. He worked hard. He was opportunistic, incredibly profitable to his employers. Boy, he was productive and he made them do well. And most of all, he was pleasing unto God with the decision that he made. You'll take a look here at Genesis 39. We'll skip over chapter 38. And now we resume here in 39 because it begins to speak about Joseph again here. We'll take a look at these first six verses. And we talked about a little bit of this, some of those points that I made. It says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Listen, I talked to a number of people. I remember talking to a gal in Walmart, and I had invited her to church. I found out that she was saved, and she said, no, I've been burnt too many times. I've been burnt too many times in church. What a shame. What a shame that that the devil can knock out people. He can knock us out. But I've heard that so many times. No, I've been burnt. And that's where Joseph was. He had been burnt so many times. But he took a different route, didn't he? In those verses that we read. Again, Joseph could have said that. You know, I've been serving God faithfully. And everything just keeps falling apart. I'm tired of being burnt. I'm just done with it. But he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I trust the Lord. And my God is a good God. Now, after that, he was enticed again by Potiphar's wife, and he resisted. She falsely accused him. He ends up going into the prison. So what does he do? Well, take a look at verses 20 through 23 there at the end of chapter 39. It says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. I mean, he became in charge of all the prisoners when they began to see Joseph. And they said, this is a unique man. And he rose up quickly. And it says all the prisoners were in the prison were handled by Joseph. And it says, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Well, he took a lot of responsibilities, a lot of the job duties there in the prison. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know what? He just keeps his eyes on the Lord. That's what Joseph is doing. He's just keeping his eyes on the Lord. He's going to do what that song says. You know that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are? That's an old song. I love that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Wherever God puts you, if he puts you in a prison, if he puts you as an invalid in your bed and you're bedridden, we should determine that we want to brighten the corner wherever we're at. Brighten the corner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not easy, but it just simply involves looking unto the Lord and yielding unto Him, and God will give us victory. God will help us to handle whatever situation that we find ourselves in. Doesn't He promise to give us grace sufficient for every need? He certainly does. And so maybe you're finding yourself in a tough situation right now and you wonder about it and maybe you're discouraged by it. Let me just encourage you as I would encourage myself, that we just cast our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto our Father who's up in heaven, who loves us, and He'll help you and He'll give you strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul was in prison. And yet he was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We know that song, right, Roxanne? Singing to the kids, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Well, Paul did that. Paul sends that message to the Philippian church while he's in prison. And you know, Paul in his heart wanted to be out and being a blessing to the young converts and to the churches that had been started. But he was in there and he was fine. I've learned in whatever state I am there with to be content. I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to just be happy. And so he brightened the corner where he was, and Joseph certainly did the same. And I ask you that question, and I ask myself, when things start to fall out and everything doesn't go like we like it to go, do we start mumbling? Do we start complaining? The Bible says do all things without murmurings and disputings. Is that exactly what we do when things don't just go right? We start complaining, well, why is this happening? Well, why does that happen? How about we just say, Lord, You know what's going on, and You're allowing this to maybe strengthen me, to strengthen my faith. Thank You for this. It's not always easy, and that's awful high ground, and I don't always say that I get there, but that's where I want to go, and to be able to say, Lord, thank You. I don't understand this. This isn't pleasant, but I know You said You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're such a good God. You're right alongside me, even though I don't even sense that. Right now, I feel like You are a million miles away, but I know that's not true, because sometimes our emotions can deceive us. Would you not say that? They certainly do, and sometimes we feel, boy, let's not put all of our eggs in the basket of feelings. It's great to have nice feelings. Yeah, I like it when the tingly feelings come along. I like those. I like those tingly feelings. I like it when, you know, my wife and I, we have those tingly feelings. Well, that's great, but sometimes they're not all tingly, and sometimes the emotions go kind of dark because everything has kind of gone wrong. And that's just a good time to say, Lord, I don't want to be subject to my emotions. Lord, I just look to You because, you know, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're not to walk by how our emotions are feeling that day. You're awfully quiet. So I know that this is hitting home with some folks. Because listen, I'm wired the same way. Sometimes I kind of base my life just on feelings. Now, I try not to go there, and I think I've learned not to go there as often as I maybe used to, but I can still get there. And if my feelings aren't like right where I want them to be, sometimes I can be subject to where I'm at feeling-wise. Is that resonating? Yeah. And we don't want to go there. And Joseph certainly understood that. He kept his eyes on the Lord. Listen, Christian, will you let conflicts and offenses and disappointments and just the unfairness of life derail you? That's a good question for us to ask. Are you going to let those things derail you? Am I going to let those things derail me? Or will you say, it doesn't matter what happens in my life. Doesn't matter. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him with all of my heart. So what becomes of someone like a Joseph, of one who just determines to serve God, come hell or high water, because of that surrender to God, because of Joseph's surrender unto Him, he exemplifies just this godly spirit. I'll call it a Christ-like spirit. Christ hadn't come yet, but he has a Christ-like spirit. And when we yield to the Lord, we can have that Christ-like spirit. A spirit of forgiveness. A spirit that honors the Lord. Now, when we last looked at him, we saw him working cheerfully in a dark prison. That made it, oh, so much lighter. That's what Joseph was all about. It reminds me of Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail. in Acts chapter 16, and you remember at midnight, it says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And you remember what happened in that situation. We won't turn there, but if you read Acts chapter 16 and you see that they're thrown into that prison, and things were going well, they could have easily have said, what happened? The rug got pulled out from underneath us. Lord, why did you let this happen? No, they didn't do that. It comes midnight. They're in pain because they've been chained up in those fetters. And I'm sure that with the beatings on their back, they were in a lot of pain. But Paul looks at Silas and just says, hey, how about we just start singing? Let's just pray, talk to the Lord, and then let's just sing some songs. And they sang praises unto God. And, you know, this song would have been back there. They just start singing, you know, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it just starts to go through the corridors of the jail. And God says, I like that. I'm going to bless that. God creates an earthquake, and all the jail cell doors open. All those, and the jailer looks down the corridor, and all those cells' doors are open, and he's like, I'm toast. They're going to kill me. They're going to cut my head off. I've let all these prisoners out. He didn't realize all those prisoners were stuck in their cells. God said, you're not going anywhere. But when that jailer saw that, something happened in his heart, and he hears the singing of those two guys all the way down the corridor, and he comes rushing, he grabs a light, he comes rushing, and he sprang into their cell, and he said, what must I do to be saved? Yeah, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that guy got saved and trusted Christ as a Savior. And then he was a different man than when he first tossed him in there, because I don't know if he was part of the ones that beat those two men, but he was roughing them up, and he set the fetters fast on their hands and their feet. And then by the end of the night, when he gets saved, he's different. He says, oh, you guys, thank you. Thank you for letting the Lord use you. And, oh, I'm saved. He says, listen, I'm going to take you guys over to my house, probably right next door to the jail. And he takes them over there, and he washes their stripes. And it's a different story. And his family gets saved as well. Because, you know, those men determined, Paul and Silas determined, we're gonna brighten the corner where we are. And then, you know, you couldn't help but see Christ in them. And God uses it to bring that man to Christ and his family. Now, getting back to Joseph, while he was there in chapter 40, he's still in that prison. He's going to be dealing with the personal baker and the butler of Pharaoh. They were tossed in prison. They both dreams, and Joseph interprets them. The butler was restored back to his position, but the baker was found guilty, just as Joseph had said, and the baker was hanged. And the butler went back, and Joseph says, don't forget me. Please tell Pharaoh, tell somebody that, you know, that I'm in this jail. And so he goes back, but he forgets 2 full years. Another thing that Joseph could have said, man, I'm here. Here was a perfect opportunity for me to be released. And he said, no, but I'm still here for 2 more years. And then in chapters 41, verses 1 through 8, Pharaoh dreams two dreams that greatly trouble him. And so we know the story of how Joseph was called in because the butler realized, oh, man, I just remembered my fault to this day. A couple years ago, there's a fellow in the prison, in the jail, that told me what my, me and the baker, we had these dreams, and he told us what our dreams were. And he said, boss, Pharaoh, you've had these dreams. There's a man who can interpret dreams. So they go, and of course, you know that story of how they bring Joseph, and Joseph interprets those dreams. And as a result, we know how he was promoted to rule Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Through all of that, God used him to provide for and save his own family, but also even all the nations. God uses him as a picture of Christ, who is exalted to his position. And then finally, after his father Jacob passes away, Jacob has an opportunity to be reunited with Joseph again for 17 years. He gets to see his son again after he thought he was dead. When his brothers threw him in that pit and they gave him that story. And, you know, Jacob was like, this don't sound right. There's some There's some shenanigans here. There's something going on here, but he could never put his finger on it. Finally, he's reunited with Joseph, and they had 17 years together. And so God has lifted Joseph into this position. And so now, after Jacob passes away, his brothers thought for sure that Joseph would now get revenge on them. Oh, man, we're toast because now our dad's gone. Our dad Jacob has died. I think Joseph is now going to come and get revenge on us for what we did to him. Let's take a look at Genesis 50, and we'll just show you this wonderful forgiveness that we see in Joseph, again, that we see with the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is such a picture of him. Verses 15 through 21, it says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.'" And here, this is the prophecy of those dreams that he had, right? "And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." That's amazing. Joseph did not even have the thought of revenge in his heart. It was not even there. He understood what God was doing through all of it. He saw the big picture, why he had allowed him to go through what he went through. And there wasn't that thought of revenge in his heart. There was no bitterness there. He was so given to God that the Lord gave him a heart that could only forgive, just as Christ did. The Lord forgave us. Boy, shouldn't he have just been offended with our lives and the sin that we have against him? How many times have we pushed away the Lord? How many times have we offended the Lord? Probably many. But look at how long-suffering the Lord is with us. And we see that here with Joseph and his brethren. Probably one of the greatest things that we're called on as Christians is to be ready to forgive, because we've been forgiven greatly. Amen? It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Right. Sometimes we have little issues that pop up and we find ourselves offending somebody else. Well, we just need to learn how to get beyond that, learn to have a forgiving spirit. It's probably good for us to just go, "Lord, I probably deserve that. Help me. I don't want to have a bitter spirit toward that brother." Maybe he said something that was out of place. Maybe he said something that was a little bit sharp and curt to you, and you thought, "Wow, why would he say that? Why did he do that?" Well, then maybe it's just good. Well, maybe it's just good to give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe his shoes were just too tight today. Maybe he's just going through something. Maybe we should just go, "That's okay, Lord. There's been times when I've done that. Help me to forgive. Help me not to take offense and go on some crusade and start talking to other brothers and sisters and backbiting." That's the downfall of a church, folks, is when we don't walk with Christ and we start to do those kinds of things. The Lord spoke about it over and over again about forgiving. Remember Peter questioned, "How often shall I forgive? Seven times?" Remember the Lord said, "No, 70 times seven." Because Peter's thinking, seven times, I can handle that. Seven times. And once I get past those seven times, I don't have to forgive anymore. And the Lord said, "No, I'm going to throw a number at you that you won't be able to handle. You'll lose count. 70 times seven, that's 490. And Peter's like, "So 470 times seven, I'll lose track. I guess maybe the Lord's saying I'm supposed to just keep forgiving. Yeah, we're supposed to just keep forgiving. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any." If you have something against someone, then forgive. "That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." If God can do anything through us, it'll only be because we've learned how to forgive. Boy, we need to be Christ-like in that way, because we've been forgiven a whole bunch. And may we learn how to forgive. Listen, problems happen in this life, don't they? A lot of conflicts, a lot of things that we can be offended by. What is that verse in Psalm 119 and verse 165? About nothing shall offend me. Can somebody quote that verse? Say that again, Dee. Yes. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Amen. You know why I did that? Because I couldn't remember it right off the bat. I'm being a little transparent with you. Thank you. Yeah, and then it came right away. Thank you, Dee. Listen, we don't have to be offended. And if we love the Lord and we're in His Word, then you know what? Nothing really should offend us. We should be really dead to the things of this life. Again, problems are going to happen. So may we learn to be faithful no matter what comes our way, no matter the conflicts that we face. And may we seek to become someone who is willing to forgive and be like Christ. Amen? Now, I'll say this. That's, of course, for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're here today without Christ. Then I would encourage you to make a decision today to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He died on a cross for you so that you could have everlasting life. And we want to see you get saved. And so we make an invitation to you as well, that when we sing this invitation, that you'd step out in the aisle and come up front here. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. What a great thing it is to be saved. What a great thing it is to know the Lord. And may we learn how to simply be faithful unto the Lord and walk with Him and let Him do a work in our hearts and our lives so that we would learn how to be forgiving. You know, that works great in a marriage. It works great in a family, and it works great in a church when we learn to do that. Would you bow your heads at this time? We're going to go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment. With our heads bowed and the piano just about to play, we'll be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about this particular issue, about just being faithful. Being faithful, as we looked at Joseph, was just faithful. Even when things were not going his way, he put his nose to the grindstone and said, "I'm just going to serve the Lord. And I'm just going to let what happens, happens. I don't have any control of that, but I do have the control of how I respond to things. And I'm just going to walk with God. I'm just going to trust Him. Even in a dark prison, I'm just going to trust Him." God blessed him. He certainly did. We see that. He blessed him in a great way. So maybe you're going through some things and you wonder, wow, I'm in a dark place myself. This is a good time to just turn to the Lord. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but maybe God's dealing with your heart about some things. And if I ask that question, maybe you'd raise your hand today and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through some rough times. I want the Lord to help me." Then maybe this is a good time for you to respond. Maybe come to the altar, talk to the Lord about that, and maybe get some things right in your heart before the Lord. Now, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I want to encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to encourage you to step out in the aisle and come forward, and we'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Father, we come before you today. Thank you, Lord, for what we see in Joseph's life. We know he was not perfect. He was just a sinful man, but he learned to turn his life over to you and to just serve you with all of his heart. And we see such a picture of your son in his life. Help us to be more like that. Help us to simply turn things over unto you. We pray and ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all